In his Christmas address of 1939, King George VI, at the beginning of World War II, when they were so full of uncertainty and what the year would bring, he said this in his famous Christmas message. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. What good advice. But why should we at the beginning of 2014 put our hand in the hand of God that he would lead us into a new year? And that's why I've chosen for my text tonight from the portion of scripture we read in Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's read verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This text is teaching us to put our trust in God, especially in times of trouble and uncertainty. If we are ever in a crisis, it's when we are not in control, it's when we don't know what to do, and it's when we have no answers. These words were spoken to Israel, which were a church and a nation who were facing times of trouble and confusion. And God is encouraging them to trust in him. If you are in that position tonight, if you're in a state of confusion, if you're saying, I don't know what to do, if you feel you're out of control, that you need light, you need guidance, this verse is for you to listen to. Whether your problem is personal, whether it's to do with your family, whether it's to do with your church, whether it's to do with your job, listen to God when he says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. What is God saying in these verses? He's saying three things. He's saying, although you don't know, I know. He's saying, I know, I have plans, and I intend to bless. It's vital for us to understand that Israel here were under judgment, but God was going to take them through that eventually, and God was going to bless them. Christians have to endure tough times in the Christian life. Christ never said the Christian life was easy. What he said was, I will be with you in trouble. He said, in the world you will definitely have tribulation, but I will be with you. So let's see what comfort we can get from God as he speaks to us at the end of this year, and as we look out onto 2014, full of the unknown, full of uncertainty. I know. Thus says the Lord, I know. At the end of the day, you know, all that matters is that God knows. If God knows, all is well. You see, I don't know what this year is going to hold. God knows. And if He knows, that's all that really matters. It doesn't really matter if we know or not. And one lesson that you and I must learn is this. We must learn to stop saying, if only I knew. It's not healthy to keep on saying, if only I knew. God knows. And that should be enough. To want to know everything is actually to want to be in control. Do we not trust God? Is God really making a mess of things? Really? A lot of our anxiety, you know, stems from pride. Even when we're anxious about the church. Because the church is God's. Can we let God be God? You see, look, I know what's happening. In fact, I'm behind it. Let God be God. Can we let God, can we let Christ be head of His church? Can we let Christ rule our lives? Or have we got to be in control? Have we? Do we need to run everything? Do we need to know everything? Listen, things are not really out of control. Satan is not winning the battle. He's not winning the war. He does have a few minor victories, but they're only minor victories. The war is already won. Christ won the war at the place called Calvary. The only thing that you and I really need to know is Christ, God. If we know Him, that's all we really need to know. God knows everything else. You and I do not need to know the details. God knows all the details. God knows everything. Are you one of these people that needs to know everything God is doing before you trust Him? That's not of faith. That's not of faith. The Bible says, they that know your name will put their trust in you. You see, the world says, oh, well, once I find out all these things, then I'll put time enough to put my trust in them. It's not faith. Faith is, I don't need to know everything. I'm trusting God. I'm putting my faith in Him. You don't need to know everything first. You need to know God first. You need to trust God first. God actually does know what He's doing. Even when there's mayhem in church and state. I remember as a young Christian being so confused when I read about John Bunyan. And I read how he was, well, you know, he was a great preacher. He was the best preacher around. And God put him in prison. I said, well, why did you do that, Lord? He's the best preacher England has. Why did you put him in prison? You're destroying your own cause, I thought. Until I learnt. God really does know best. John Bunyan was a means of converting more people through the books he wrote in prison and through all his preaching. There was more people taken into the kingdom, became Christians through reading Pilgrim's Progress, which John Bunyan wrote in prison. And you remember, the famous John Owen said he'd give up all his learning if he could just preach like the tinker. Who was the tinker? The tinker was John Bunyan. A great preacher, and yet he had more converts through his time in prison than when he preached the gospel openly. God says, I know. Let God be God. I know that I have plans. You know, neither the world nor the church is drifting aimlessly round and round. There is a plan, and there is a design, and it's God's plan, and it's God's design. Things only look as if they're in a mess. They're not in a mess. God is in complete control of your life. That mess you think you're in, God knows, and God has a purpose behind it. He has a plan behind it. There is meaning and there is purpose in everything that's happening. Oh, it does look in a mess, but it only looks. Tell you something else about God's plan. It's on schedule. God's plan is bang on schedule. God's plan is not running late. There are no hiccups. You know how often we say, there was a little hiccup. There are no hiccups in heaven. There are no unforeseen circumstances. There are no situations when we have to say, things are out of our control. That never happens in heaven. Never. You know, God is never rushed. God is never in a hurry. Now, do understand, God is efficient. God can act speedily. Indeed, God can do things instantly. And sometimes he does. But there is never an emergency with God. There is never a crisis with God. We think there's crisis, don't we? There's an emergency situation. Not in heaven. Not in heaven. The wheels of God turn slowly. In fact, they turn so slowly, you don't think they're turning at all. But they are. God has a plan, and the plan is bang on schedule. Something else about God's plan. It's inevitable. It's unpreventable, if you like. You can't stop it. You can't delay it. You can't even slow it down. And you can't even speed it up. So you say, well, what's the point in praying? If things are so meticulously arranged by God in heaven, why should I bother praying? What's the point in gathering together to pray that God would do something if God's plan is inevitable? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the point is this. God's plan includes your prayers. It includes your prayers. So when God is doing something in his plan, he includes your prayers in that plan, so that he gives his people his mind. That's why God's people pray together. They're all agreed about something, and they gather together to pray for it. Have you got a burden? Have you got something you really feel you should pray for? Guess where it came from? It came from God. God, you know, monitors every event of providence so that we gather together to pray, to plead with him, to show him we're on his side, that we seek the good of his people, that we seek blessing. I know, God says. I have a plan, God says. And thirdly, God says, I intend to bless. Now, as we read there, the context of this verse is false prophets. The false prophets were saying to the people of God, to the children of Israel, you're ruined. You're finished. There's no future for you. There's only adversity ahead. You're finished. What God is saying here, false prophets don't know. I know. I know what's ahead. I know what I planned. I have planned peace, not evil. The false prophets are saying there's nothing but evil ahead of you. You have no future. You're finished. God says, no. They don't know. I know. I know what I've planned. I've planned prosperity for you. I've planned peace for you. I've planned blessing for you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, or that I plan toward you. Plans of peace and not of evil. Now that word peace is the word shalom, which we've all heard of, the Hebrew word shalom. There's two or three ideas in that word shalom. And this idea of peace. It's peace in the middle of problems. It's peace in the middle of confusion. It's peace in the middle of what you call a crisis. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know what to think. It's in the peace, it's peace, and there's trouble all around. You see, if everything is straightforward, if everything before you is plain and clear and straightforward, it's easy to have peace. But remember what Christ said, peace I leave with you. My type of peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give my peace to you. I give my peace to you in a different way from the world gives it to you. The world can only give you peace if there's no problems, if there's no trouble. The peace of God and the peace of Christ is peace in the midst of trouble. The second thing about this peace is it's peace all bound up with a person. All bound up with a person. The person of Christ. It's all bound up in our relationship. There's peace because of a relationship. You know what it's like. Someone gets a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They've got a relationship. Oh, the difference it makes in their lives. Oh, the difference Christ can make to our relationship. Everything looks different. Everything seems new. That's the peace God has for you. The third thing about the peace is a peace that has a developing prosperity. You see, think about it. A blessing that's only temporary. A blessing that only lasts for a few months. It's not really a blessing. By definition, a blessing must last forever. God's blessings are without his change of mind, his change of heart. When God blesses, he blesses forever. And he says to his people, I have a future for you. The false prophets were saying, you have no future. God says, I have a future. And here's my future for you, my people who follow me. Here's a future. A future and a hope. And what is meant here is this. The future I have for you is the future you were hoping for. It's the future you're longing for. And God says, I can give that to you. But you put your trust in me. You follow me. I want to close. It's about 1:12. I want to close by quoting two verses. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After you've suffered a while. There may be a little bit of trouble coming, but God will be with you in it, and he will see you through it. Put your trust in him, he'll take you through the trouble, and after you've suffered a while, you'll perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Here's the second verse. You have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Put your trust in God. As we start 2014, put your trust in God. Wait upon him. Because he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Let's bow our heads as we go into 2014.